Shalom, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday night Bible study. Thank you, Rashawn, for that beautiful song. That was awesome, awesome, awesome. I love praise and worship. Is that it? That is awesome. Well,
Dr. Sadie, have you heard from Barbara? You know, who comes on Wednesday nights?
Yeah, she sent me a video today.
Did she?
Yeah, I started watching it, but I was trying to get ready for tonight. So, but yeah, I'll answer in the morning. Yeah, but I hear from Barbara. We're Facebook buddies.
Good. I miss her. I reached out to her, but I hadn't heard from her yet.
Okay. Yeah, she's doing good. She's doing good. And then Linda and Jim, they called me this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the whole family's doing good.
Great God, that's awesome.
And so, yeah, things are good. Now, we have a message for you guys tonight. And I'm going to take out my freshly washed tallits. They even smell better. Abigail asked me the question last week, do you ever wash them? And I was like, ooh, Abigail, thank you. And you know what? That's just why God give us women. Because we forget, you know? We just like... Yeah, we forget, you know? You're like, babe, you don't smell good. You just worked out. Really? So... Okay. Now, Pastor Ben, you have the cards for this?
Here's
the cards. Okay, where's my t-shirt?
You gotta show the t-shirt.
I gotta show my t-shirt. This is the card. Wow.
That's a thank you card that we'll be sending out to people.
Okay. This is a thank you card?
Show it.
Yeah, here's the thank you card. You're going to send this to...
He sends it out to people that send things for whatever reason.
Oh, so we made a thank you card.
We made a thank you card for the people out of it.
Ivan, look what we did. We done forged your work. We made thank you cards out of them. We're sending them out to people. Man, yeah, I sent him a thank you on Facebook. They singers,
really?
Artists, cartoonists. They're just a talented family. Yep. And then here it is from, this is your card from Linda Searcy, right?
Yeah.
My card's at home, getting ready to go on my art board.
See how beautiful it is.
Yeah, now she told me the story about how they made this, but I can't remember it. But if you talk to her, you have to ask her how they made, no, the whole story is back there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful.
But yeah, it's a, yeah.
It's a reminder of the story on the back of the
Yeah, car. So that's a beautiful card.
I'm gonna show the bird passing to this.
Okay. And I only have a few cards tonight. And Becky White sent me a letter. Let me see, Becky White. Yes. We have a great Bible study. Pastor Sandy, Pastor Ben, sending love and prayers. Especially watching and waiting for the Lord. Keep barking, doing great. Becky White from West Virginia.
All right, Becky.
Wait a minute, Becky White Musgrove. Or is it Musgrove?
Yeah, Musgrove.
Yeah, she is married and we do not want to disrespect her husband.
Amen.
So praise God.
The what?
Oh, the envelope, here it is. Okay. And is this watch box? Who is this from, Pastor Ben?
Those are from Robert.
From Robert?
Robert Violet.
Violet, yes, I have a Robert Violet watch myself.
Me too. And my wife.
And this one is for Janelle.
Yeah.
And we were just looking up the Jules Jurgensen watches. They've been making watches since the 1700s. And here, you can show that. And they sent that to our...
To Janelle.
And what's Janelle's title here to church? I call her Do It All.
Yeah, she's our contact person to all the members.
Okay.
She's over member services.
Yeah, and they sent Abigail one too. Isn't that nice?
Beautiful.
Mrs. Do It All.
That's God what I call her.
Yes. Because she's the one that set up all this computer and stuff that we do. And I think that's it, Pastor Ben. Hallelujah. That is it. Oh, wait a minute. We're not done. Suzanne, and then we're done. We're going to get
one?
Huh? Oh, no. I didn't even get one of my own study. I appreciate that. I hope you guys got the Bible study today.
Janelle sent them out.
Hallelujah. Okay. Susan sent me this. She says, bless to all my family at S4C. Putting a finishing touch before the bridegroom arrives. In Jesus, Suzanne and Jersey Girl.
Jersey Girl.
Jersey Girl. That's a Jersey Girl.
You
I like
show
that.
The t-shirt,
Pastor Ben. Oh, I still didn't show the t-shirt. Hey, Jersey Girl. If you talk to her, Colette and her hubby, tell them I said hello. Yeah, I said in Hebrew. But that's pretty awesome. And now, dun 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 dun. Oh yeah. With the watches?
Yeah.
Oh, tell her that's Pastor Ben. He'll find them though. Okay, Ivan. This is my t-shirt. That's why it looks kind of large. But I did lose some pounds. I'm 270 now. But wow, look at that. That's beautiful, huh?
That is so nice.
Wow.
Abigail, can Abigail come up and tell them how to get a t-shirt if they want one?
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
Because I'll just.
How do you get one?
She's gonna tell them right now.
Because we don't sell t-shirts, right?
Them, but they can get them if they want.
Yeah, they can order them at the price from the t-shirt.
They can go directly from there.
Go ahead, Abigail. Show them your nice dress.
Talk, girl.
Go ahead.
So they can't, you guys can just click under the video in the description box, and we have the link to Bonfire, to our Bonfire store. We're also going to be posting a weekly post on Facebook with the link, so you guys, you know, can't remember that. So you guys remember that we have a store, and I try to design t-shirts as they come to my head, so...
Yeah.
You know, just a little patience.
Yeah.
And also,
and this
Facebook
is,
and
this is the coolest t-shirt ever.
Facebook and the yeah. Under the description
yeah.
box.
Yeah.
Abigail, you don't have to worry about if you order it and not getting it, because I'm not doing it.
Could
Abigail
you?
Is taking care of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
We don't ship it, the company does.
The company does,
right.
Yeah.
You pay the company and the company
right.
ships
yeah, they ship it to you, so that's pretty good.
Nice?
Instead of buying them all for $10 and selling them for $30.
Oh, good.
Ooh, God would like slap us all. Like
oh,
you.
He should.
I did not call you to peddle t-shirts.
I know.
Okay, here we go. I have to go over the notes that I sent you guys first, because these are the things. This is not what the Bible study is on, but these are things that I need you to be aware of. Okay, first of all, there is the Israel-UAE agreement, and this is the title of the article that came out of, I guess, the Middle East somewhere, and then I'm going to pray right after that. The UAE agreement, a meek version of the historic Mideast deal Trump pledges. So understand that the UAE agreement is a meek version of the Middle East or the Mideast deal that Trump pledges or that he really wants, okay? So that means it is not the 7-year agreement that starts the tribulation, okay? It is just an agreement with the UAE, and that is a very small group of Arabs in that area, okay? So that is not it. The other thing I want to do, and I let me pray first, because I'm going to give you a warning about a couple of things, and I don't want to get too personal. I want the Lord to say, yes, to say about this. Okay, let's pray. Tinlano Hayom Lekumu Keno Uselak Anu et Ash Mitenu Ke Asher Solakim Anaknu Le Asher Ash Milano Vi Al Tevienu Lode Masaki Im Hadzilano Minhara Kilaha Hamamlaka Vihagivra Lehati Eret Leola Me Leola Mim Amen. And that was the Lord's Prayer, because Rashawn sang it tonight, and I'm thankful, and it was beautiful.
Amen.
And I wanted to say it in Hebrew, and to all our in Israel, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, bless this message, Lord. Hallelujah. Hello from Hong Kong. Now, I've already warned you guys, and I'm going to do it one more time, because I see some people are friends with this lady on her. I'm going to warn you once again. Brenda Welter is not doing what she's doing by accident, okay? It takes very strong demonic skills to teach the word in a way that you only drop a little poison in at a time, okay? I'm going to read Luke chapter 4, because this is what the Lord said she's doing, okay? And you guys, because you're not in your word and you're not listening to me when I say Brenda Weltner is not sent from God. She popped up out of nowhere, and she teaches very bad biblical principles that, and someone sent me one, and I said, well, I'm just going to listen to see what poison she dropped in this one. Okay, so I'm telling you, this is very bad. But the Lord said, go to Luke chapter 4. This is what she's doing, Sandy. And it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was very hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live by bread alone. Okay? So the devil comes back and said, the devil led him up to a high place to show him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all the authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give you anything. I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered, it is written. Notice that Jesus answered, it is written, for the second time. It is written, worship the Lord thy God, your God, and serve him only. So Satan knew that, but you know, this is what you call testing someone's Bible knowledge. The devil led him down to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest temple. It says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. Now watch the devil. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning to guard you carefully, and they will lift up your hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to test. Okay? So he keeps correcting him as far as what the word says, but Satan keeps coming back and says, you know, he's quoting a scripture that actually says that he will protect you and keep your foot from striking the stone. So throw yourself down if you're the Son of God, because your even your foot won't hit the stone. But Jesus says, yeah, but you left out something. He also said, do not tempt the Lord your God, right? So this is a battle over the word of God. And if you don't know it, people will say certain scriptures and leave out a portion, hoping that you don't know. So then now you're caught in a mess, right? So this is what she's doing. So this is what she preached this in the one the lady sent me. A friend of ours sent me from somewhere in Africa, I think Uganda. And it says here, she said, we're in the middle of the tribulation. It began in 2017. And people don't understand what the tribulation is. Tribulation only means persecution. And so therefore, we're already in the tribulation and we have 3 years left. And now this 3 years that you're going to see are going to be the great wrath of God. And that's what we're going to be delivered out of. But we're already in the third year of the tribulation. So I sent just this scripture, and it says, and he shall confirm a covenant with the many for 1 week. Okay. So has he confirmed a covenant with the many?
Nope.
No. Did he confirm the covenant with the few? Yes. Israel's UAE agreement is a meek version of the historic Mideast deal. Mm-hmm. It is not. So he hasn't confirmed a covenant with the many. So that means that's not true. So it hasn't started yet for 1 week. And it says in the middle of the week, he shall cause sacrifice and oblation to cease. Okay. And it says now, in the middle of the week, it says he's going to cause sacrifice and oblation to cease. There's no temple, so there's been no sacrifices. Right. So how is the Antichrist going to stop the sacrifices and oblations from happening if there's no temple and there's been no sacrifices? Right. You understand? So that means it can't be the middle of the tribulation, right? And with the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation is determined, shall be poured out upon him. So there is no temple for him to sit in. There's no temple for him to commit the abomination or desolation. There's no place for him to do it. There's no sacrifices. So you're saying that none of this stuff even matters. There's for the first 3.5 years, there's not going to be any sacrifices or oblations, and for the first, come on. But when you hear her say this, you should go, wait a minute, Daniel says if this is the middle of the tribulation, the temple should already be built,
right,
and sacrifices should have been going on for the last 3 years.
Yep.
But that's just one of the simple things that she does, but she's telling people you're in the middle of the tribulation.
Right.
Okay? And so, but see, you can't do this. And then I asked God, I said, Lord, is she just a wayward Christian who just doesn't understand the Bible? And the Lord said to this to me solidly, if she were my child, my spirit would have corrected her by now. She does not have my spirit. So, and I had to think about that, because if you made a mistake, the Holy Spirit would correct you right away. And if I made a mistake, the Holy Spirit would correct us right away. That's how we know that the Spirit is within us. But if you are able to do this consistently and not be corrected, then that means the Spirit of God is just not living in you. Okay, so I'm this is my last warning. I would not bring her name up again. Her name is Brenda Welter. And do not read her book. Do not listen to her speak, because God says the biggest crime is giving Satan an ear to hear.
Amen.
So if you put your ear to the thing and he can lie to you, it's because you did that.
That's right.
Okay? Turn your ear away from Satan. You don't have to hear the lie.
Amen.
Now, I posted something today on Facebook. It calls Black Lives Matter Connection to Witchcraft. And I hope you guys watched that. And I really want to thank this guy. His name is Abraham Hamilton III, kind of like Thurston Howell. And but he did a great job in explaining and showing that these people are not just having a movement called Black Lives Matter to better black people. These women are talking about spiritually adding demonic spirits into this spiritual war, and how they're praying to demonic spirits to lead them in this thing called Black Lives Matters.
Is that the black guy?
This is the black guy. This is the black guy. That his name is Abraham Hamilton III, and it says God is trying to reach black people who don't understand that Satan is using Black Lives Matter, a witchcraft organization, to cause confusion and murder, leading black Christians away from Jesus Christ to witchcraft and all black people into Satanism. George Soros is paying the bill, and he is a Luciferian. So I'm going to thank the brother Abraham Hamilton for doing that. Now, I think there's a better video than Abraham did, but I posted Abraham's because he's a brother, and then, you know, because if a white guy do it, they go, oh, he's just racist. So this is a white guy, but he did even a better video. And this video is called Beyonce, Black is King, Black Lives Matters, and Black Magic. And his name is Spencer Smith, and he is a minister of the gospel. I think he's a really good guy. And it really shows you about these three women and what they quote. Now, here are the three women, because if Satan wants you famous, he can put you on the cover of his magazine.
Yep.
So these are the three women. They were on the cover of Time magazine. Can you believe that?
Wow.
They're the leaders. I mean, George Soros is paying their salaries, but they also got him on the cover, and they're doing Satan a great deal. And then it says, this is what she says. This is what one of the women said. She said she called on the spirit of Waukesha Wilson, and that's a woman who got killed while she was in jail, or died. So they said she committed suicide, but they said, no, she died. And anyway, she said, I never met her in her body, but I met her in the spirit, and we laughed together. Her and this dead woman, Waukesha, right? Wilson. And he says, they say the police, she died in custody, but she speaks of talking to her dead spirits and laughing with her. And so please watch this video, because if you think the one with the brother is good, and that was very good, but the one with Spencer, and I have it on this paper, called Beyonce Black Kings. And please do not watch that Disney film, Black Kings, that by Beyonce. It has so much Satanism. It's literally inviting demonic spirits into your home. And it's on Disney, so they're pushing it toward kids, okay? They kind of make it like it's what they call the kid, the same as on the cartoon, but it's crazy. So I just want you guys to be aware of this type of stuff, okay? Hallelujah. Praise God.
That guy you just talked about the Beyonce thing, it's on your Facebook page?
It's on that same page, but it's further down. So I'll make sure that everybody gets it, even if I have to repost it tomorrow, because I think it's important. Because, you know, we took our sons and daughters to go see Black Panther. But after the movie, I had to explain to them, look, when we pray, we don't be calling on no spirits from the dead.
Right.
I don't care, an ancestor or whatever. You call on Jesus and that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, we take them to go see these movies, but we have to be good parents of our children.
Yeah.
And say, okay, it was a superhero movie, but when they were doing that praying, that was demonic, okay?
Right.
We don't call on spirits from the dead to talk to, okay?
Amen.
I'll show you something in the Bible where one guy did that, and he's sorry he ever did that, okay? You don't be calling on nothing from the dead.
Amen.
You might get something you don't want,
Amen.
Which is what happened to him, right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, let's begin the Bible study. I want to go to the board real fast, because the Lord said to tell you this. Each and every person out there that has been watching us, this is Mi'at Ve'Asrim. This Hebrew letter means salvation. Okay? This is the numerical value. The numerical value of salvation is 6. I minus the 6, and you get the 666. And the Lord said, why did he use the 120th number, the number 120th, to express to you a message? Okay? And what's the message? In the 120th, salvation will be taken out and 666 will begin. The Lord, I'm sitting there and the Lord said, I could have used any number I wanted, but I wanted to use the number that the event is going to happen. You understand? So he used the 120th number and he says, okay, this is the number. This is salvation when I take it out in that year. And this is what the world's going to get once I take salvation out of the way. So the Lord says, you already know, okay? He says, all of the things that we've taught, all of the things that we've shown you, you already know that something's about to happen. And especially with everything going on in the world, along with everything that God has shown, he says, we already know that something's about to happen, okay? So stay in your word, don't listen to everybody, and don't get caught up in a lot of foolishness. Hallelujah. I want us to go to Revelation chapter 17. This is a Bible study, okay? Revelation chapter 17, and let's see where we're at. Okay, listen what I'm about to read here. It says, I'm going to start reading at verse 14. It says, they will make war against the Lamb, okay? Because this is talking about when Jesus is about to come back, okay? And they see the sky recede, and they see one coming on the cloud. And these crazy people decide, let's go to war against the Lamb, okay? Crazy. And which is like, let's go to war against God. It's just the dumbest thing. But they believe they can win because Satan has lied to them. It says, they will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful. You hear that? So let's go over here to the board, because I want us to know the word called is in the Greek means invited. Okay? So there are those who are invited. And let's see, should I do that? Yes. I'm going to put the word up here. It's called klepto. I'm going to put the L. Don't let my wife see me doing that. Klepto. Okay, that's what kleptos in Greece means, is that we use the word called, but the word really means invited. Okay, so you got a group of people that are going to be coming back with Jesus that were invited. Then you have a group of people that are chosen. Okay, these people are chosen, and is the Greek word elekto, the elect, right? Elektos. And that means they have been chosen, or the elect. These are the elect. And then you have another group of people that's going to be coming back with Jesus, and they are called the faithful, and that's pistos. And pistos means faithful, okay? So these are the faithful. Now, so we have three different type of people that are returning, because I'm going to read this again, because it says here, they will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. That's three different types of followers, okay? So let's look first at who are the faithful, okay? Because these are those that come out of the great tribulation, okay? I don't want to be one of the faithful that come back. I want to be one of the klepto, the invited ones, because when I was asked if I wanted to go to a wedding banquet, and I accepted the invitation, okay? Yeah. So here we are here, and it says in Revelation 12, verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. You hear that? So I when I'm in church, sometimes I hear people say things and I go, that's not what that scripture's for. But you can't jump up and go, that's not what that scripture's for. But I feel like it, because they'll go, well, you know, we saved by our testimony, so I want to give my testimony. That is not what that means. Being saved by your testimony means that you are one of the people who survived the tribulation, and you chose death over. You chose death over taking the mark or following Satan. That is what it means, okay? So if you want to be saved by the testimony, by your testimony, that means you have decided that you would rather die than take the 666 or take the mark. God calls that whole group of people that comes out of the tribulation the faithful, because they kept their testimony even when they were faced with death, okay? Now, let's go to... Yeah, let's go to Romans chapter. Now, that's the elect. Let's look at the invited first. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Let's go to the invited, because I like that group. I'm a part of that group.
Yeah.
Someone gave me an invitation to a wedding feast when I was... in high school, 17 years old, and they invited me to come in and get to know Jesus, and he didn't really know. People weren't talking about the rapture in 79, but it sounded like a good thing. It sounded better than what I was dealing with, and so he invited me, and I took the invitation to this wedding feast. So if you're in Matthew chapter 22, let's begin to read. And it says here, Jesus spoke to them again in a parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet. Wow, God's talking about a wedding banquet, okay? For his son. Sometimes I just stop and go, how long has God been talking about a wedding for his son? Aren't we talking about a wedding for his son in Genesis chapter 29?
Yep.
So when we get here, we're still talking about the same thing. This is all about this rapture and this wedding, okay? And it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, and they refused to come. Then he sent some of his servants and said, tell those who I have invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his army to destroy those murderers and burn their city. Whose city got burned? Jerusalem. So who did not take the invitation? The Jews, instead of taking the invitation that Jesus was giving them, they denied him and even killed his son. Okay? And so they rejected the invitation to the wedding feast. And so now we get to Jesus is no longer going to deal with the Jews because why? They've rejected him. So he says, okay, you will not see me again until you say Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai. Until you request me, I won't see you again. I'm going to the Gentiles. Yeah. Okay? So now in verse 8, which is the new beginning,
yeah.
It says, then he said to his servant, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the street and they gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. So that included me. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. We know the story behind that, right? Yeah. Well, some people just started. So anyway, the story behind that is that a Jewish king, once he invites you to his wedding feast, he is going to give you the garments that you are to wear to the wedding feast.
Yeah.
Because it's at the palace, and we don't want people in there who look rich and people who look poor. So everybody's going to wear the garment that the king issues out, yeah. Okay? This is where you get the scripture that says what? Be careful when I come that you have your garment with you.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I come as a thief in the night. Make sure you have your garment with you. Because you have it. Now, Luke at the end says God has clothed you with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay? So for you to not have the garment, it means that somebody convinced you that you can sin without repenting, even though you've confessed Christ, and you can still go into heaven. Somebody's convinced you of that. So now you get to the wedding banquet and you don't have the garment because the garment does not stay where sin is. Where sin is persistent, the Holy Spirit does not stay. Where do you get that scripture at, Pastor? Well, what scripture is that? Is that Elijah or Jeremiah? I think it was Elijah, chapter 9, where he said, look inside the temple and look at all the sin that's going on. He said, I'm going to have my spirit come out of that temple. And it says the Spirit of God came out of the Holy of Holies, raised up and went to the outer court because there was so much sin in the temple. Well, now you're the temple of God. So if someone says, look how much sin is in this guy, and they're unrepentant. The priests that were in there were not unrepentant. They just kept sinning until God said, enough. Get my spirit out of that temple. And so, but you know, you can't convince people because they feel that, you know, obedience is not necessary. You just have to say the prayer. And you're in,
right.
You know what I mean? And so, what's going on here is that this guy is at the wedding banquet. Now watch this as it says. It says, but when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man who was not wearing the wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendant, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many have been invited, but few are chosen. So who are the few that are chosen? The Jews, a very small nation of people. Not very many of them in the whole world, okay? Very small number of people. So the few have been chosen. And what have they been chosen to do? To orchestrate God's plan of salvation for the whole Gentile world. So you got what? If 6,000, that was one third of them. So you had 666 is what, 18? Right? So you got 18,000. You got 18 million Jews in the whole world. 6 million of them get killed. And then so now there's 12 million Jews. That's a very small number in the world of people who are Jewish. The few, the very few are the chosen. But he said, many have been invited. All the Gentile nations have been invited to the wedding feast. Okay? And so that's what we're dealing with. Let's look at, let me make sure. Chapter 22. Yeah, that's it for that. So if you've been invited, be thankful that you've been invited. When Jesus comes back, he says he's coming back with the what? With the invited, the called, the chosen, and what else? And the faithful. So now let's look at the chosen. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 11 first. Romans chapter 11, and this is what it says, okay? I'm going to start at reading at verse 25, 11, 25. It says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brethren, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles, askomahi, which means to travel and go into a city. We've been over that. So until the full number of Gentiles leave, okay, it says there's been a hardening over the nation of Israel. Why the hardening? They've been chosen not to hear, not to understand, so that they can continue this process that God is doing. In verse 26, it says, and so all of Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion and will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are the enemy on your account. But as far as the election is concerned, what does the word mean? Electos. As far as the election is concerned, they are loved on the account of the patriarchs. For the gift of God and his call is irrevocable. You hear that? Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, and so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy upon them all. Praise God. Please listen to me. Never try to take one scripture and make a doctrine out of it. Because when Jesus spoke and when Jesus wrote the words, it could say something, but the fulfillment of what God is telling you is in the fullness of his word, okay? So it's like someone saying, you're not saved by works, but by grace. And then somebody could go, we're not saved by works, but saved by grace. And you can go, oh my goodness, so that means there's nothing that we can do. But then as you read the rest, you start reading, well, it seems here that God's saying, if we continue in sin, that we won't inherit the kingdom. And it's and lukewarm, and so there's all these other things. You can't take one scripture and just ride with it and say, this is what God means, okay? Fulfill the doctrine of Christ, not find a scripture that fits your lifestyle and run with it, okay? Amen. So the gift of God and his call are irrevocable, okay? So God has given us three types of people that are going to be saved. He has those who have been chosen, the Jews. He has those who have been invited, the church. And he has those that have been faithful. And those are who? The tribulation saints. Three different. So that means God has three different harvests. So that lines up with what? With Deuteronomy that says you will be there three times a year, and there's a barley, a wheat, and a fruit harvest. And so we see there's three harvests, there's three types of Christians that come back with Christ.
Yes.
I'm talking about when he returns, because let's read in Zechariah chapter 14. Here we go. And we're going to begin at verse 5. Okay, I'm going to read it, verse 3. It says, "The Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights in the as he fought in the day of battle." Okay? So Jesus is going to go out, he's going to fight against all these nations that's coming against Israel. "On that day his foot will stand on the Mount of Olives." Now, that means he's back on earth. You understand? That's not in the clouds. This is a second coming. Distinction, right?
Right.
Okay. So his foot on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. "And the Mount of Olives will split in two from east to west, forming a great valley, with half of the mountain moving to the north and half moving to the south. You will flee by my mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel. You will flee as you fled from the earthquakes in the day of Uzziah, in the king of Judah." It says, "The Lord God, the Lord my God, will come, and all of the holy ones with him." So when Jesus comes back, he's saying, all of the holy people that have been resurrected or raptured that are in heaven, all of them are coming back with him. And even the scripture says, and the angels are coming too.
Yeah.
So that's quite a bit of, that's an army that has never been seen before. That's returning with Jesus at the end of the tribulation to do what? To conquer all nations and for all of the holy ones to land on earth with him. Okay? I want to make sure. Let's go to Thessalonians real fast before I get to that other scripture.
10 minutes, bro.
10 minutes? I haven't been talking that long. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. And it says, "May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when the Lord Jesus Christ comes with all of his holy ones." You see that? So he's coming back with all of us. Okay? Everyone. And look how he's made provision, not only for the Old Testament saints, but also for the church. And then he's made provision for who? For those that are living in the tribulation. There are, here, let's go to Revelation chapter 6. There are tons of people. I don't know where all these people came from. I would have been asking the same question that the angels. Who are all these people and where did they come from? The Old Testament saints are here. The church, the bride is here. Who are all these people?
He said, you know.
He says, you know. Isn't that something? Okay, I'm going to read verse 9. Chapter 7, verse 9. I'm sorry. And it says, after this. Now watch this. The first thing that happens in verse 5, if you go to verse 5, it says, from the tribe of Judah, 12,000. So they have all these tribes, right? Because remember, the 144,000 go up first. But listen to this, because Revelation 14 then says he goes down, he takes his sickle, and he reaps the world, and he says, So, and the world was harvested. Okay? This is at the end of the tribulation, 10 days before the second coming. And he says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Multitudes of people. I'm saying, God bless them. They just told the Antichrist, "We not taking nothing." Not like this group that we have now that's so easily to just, okay. In the end, it seems to be a group of people that go, "We're not taking it. I don't care what you do to us. We're not taking your mark." And we're, but remember, there's angels flying in the air telling everyone what? Do not take the mark. Anyone who takes the mark will have no salvation, will have their day in the lake of fire. So they're hearing it not from men, they're hearing it from angels. Woo. So this might be the reason why they're like, "You done well. I mean, we don't care what you do. Don't worry, eternal life lays after death." Right? What we say on Sunday, death is what? A comma?
Comma.
Not a period, okay? So if you now know that, and plus half your relatives disappeared, you can now make a better decision about what's coming after this place, right? Amen. So they do this, but listen what it says in going down to verse 14. And because he says, "Who are these and where do they come from?" And he answered, "You know." And he said, "These are they who came out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white with the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sat on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger." So that means they were going hungry in the tribulation. "Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat." And someone said, "Well, they were saved. Why?" Listen, when God sent the wrath, it came on everybody. Okay? So the scorching heat is for the world. That's God's wrath. It says, "For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to the springs of living water, and God will wash away every tear from their eyes." Now, this is the end, which is what the Lord wanted me to ask you. Who are you to say that the rest of my book is not going to be complete the way I wrote it? Who are you to sit here and believe after Israel is rebirthed in the exact year I said, after Jerusalem is back as theirs in 1967, 19 years exactly as I said, okay, after Christ came, died, and resurrected, after millions of people are giving their life to Christ, after seeing what demonic people are doing in the world, after the plague and this pandemic, or I call it the pandemic, is going on, with all of the things that are going on and everything that God has prophesied that has happened in the world has already come true, who are humans to now sell God, and especially Christians, "We're not sure if the rest of the Bible is going to come true the way you said"? Or to have someone come to you and lie to you and say, "Oh, there's not going to be 7 years of tribulation. There's only going to be 2.5 or 3.5. Because who are you to get away from God's truth and start believing a lie or not believe God's truth after God has shown you so much? So this is, I'm going to get back to this because God said end it with this. 120 years the flood came. Mi'at ve'esrei. God says, you already know. I could have done this with anything, but I did it with the 120th year, which you are in. Mi'at 120. Take salvation out, the world gets 666. God says, you already know something's going to happen this year. And for you to get away from God or to listen to liars means that you have ignored a lot of truth for falsehood. Let's continue to walk with Christ. Let's continue to be grounded and rooted in his word. And let's not let anyone veer us away into some false doctrine where we're not doing what God wants us to do. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
That's it.